take a seat. How about we just greet one another in brotherly and sisterly love, say, hey, it's great to see you here. I love the shirt that you're wearing today. Praise the Lord. Great to have you here, church. Thanks, team, leading us, Marty. Cool. Great to have you along today. Welcome again. Kids are scooting out. If you've got kids who are keen, get out to Sunday school, go for it. Fantastic. Great that you're here. What's that? Kids, no. Oh, at school. Good on you, kids. Have fun. Rock and roll. Oh God. Oh, they'll be fine. We've got a nurse here. We've got a childcare person here. We'll be right. We're professionals, aren't we? We've got it covered. Haven't we, Chris? Cool. Let's pray as we get into the Word. Hey, I really want to launch into something today that's really going to test you a little bit. And just in the coming weeks of what we're about to jump into. And today's one of those launch days for that. Let's continue to pray and worship God. I just want you to prepare your hearts this morning, all right, to receive from the Lord, because you've come here with a delight in God, a delight in Jesus, wanting to learn of Him more, wanting to honour Him for what He's already done in your life and through your life. And you delight in Him. So let's pray. Father God, we come and we are so grateful for Jesus. So grateful for the depth of your love and what we've been reminded of this morning, Lord. You endured the cross, Jesus, because of what was, in light of what was set before you, you endured to reconcile humanity, to reconcile those who would call upon the name of Jesus as the Christ, as God's plan for salvation, to reconcile and restore, to rebuild what was once lost. And you accomplished that through the cross and through the resurrection. And in an amazing way, Lord, as we've seen in your early church, you imparted your Spirit upon all who would reach out and ask you into their life, Lord. Not just as an insurance package, Lord, something much greater and better, that it would grant us life and freedom, and Alyssa has mentioned. And for many, Lord, in this struggling world that we live in, we that can be difficult at times to somewhat experience because of what we think freedom, life might look like. And so we would just pray that today, as we honour you and worship you, as we sit in your word, Lord, for just a brief moment, that you would speak, that God would speak to you this morning. The Holy Spirit would love you enough that he would tap you on the shoulder and just remind you, A, of his love in some way, and B, of what he's leading, where he's leading you, what's to take place next. But that would just be such a joy in your heart to know that God knows you by name and that he's leading you. So we pray for that this morning, God. In the precious name of your Son, the Christ Jesus. Amen. I was just sharing with Alyssa this morning briefly about Danielle and I have entered into a stage of life where it's quiet. And that's weird. We've got lists. We've always got lists, but it's quiet at home. you know, the kids have grown up, and all of a sudden, when we've gone, oh, wouldn't it be lovely to have some peace and quiet in the house? You know what I'm saying? They're gone. We're still busy and whatever. There was pressure and whatever. But it's interesting, isn't it, how you can find yourself in a stage of life and whatever that is for you, and it takes a little bit of getting used to at times. I don't know about you, but I'm always encouraged that life needs to be full. There can't be too many margins, you know, otherwise you're wasting your time. What stage of life do you see yourself in at the moment? Often when I come across people, when I say, how are you going? How's life? Whatever. I'll get these words, oh, I'm so busy. I'm flat out. I'm tired. There's either the kids or the grandkids or mum's bus. We're always got to be somewhere and do something. And it's happening. That's just life. That's just how it is. We've been there. There was a time when we were of a weekend, Danielle would head in one direction, I'd almost head in another direction. There was either netball or footy going on, and the weekend was gone before we knew it. An unhurried life, is that possible? Who wants time to do nothing? What would I do if I had time to do nothing? What would that like, really? What would that look like? We see in Exodus 16 and Numbers 14 what we are experiencing today in life. A group of people who only knew work, busyness, have a full diary. Something's going on and on and on and on and on. And we're encouraged to do that in many ways, aren't we? You know, there's so much in life to receive, to find, to experience, that we've just got to keep after it and keep after it and keep after it. And our culture in society, and in our Western culture certainly, encourages us to adopt those values, because you need to be busy in order to get ahead with the bills, or you need to be busy in order to get to that next holiday, or you need to be busy in order to somehow or other find a better life. Jesus comes to us, and in him saying, come, follow me, he challenges us to live lifestyles similar to himself. Come, follow me. And as believers, we adopt much of that. We pray, fast, we worship, come to church, we celebrate, we be generous, and so on and so forth and so on. But Jesus also encourages us to live a slower pace of life. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and following. And at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. You can feel your hand going up, don't you? Yep. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my yoke, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Have you experienced Jesus like that? That's not easy. What am I getting wrong if my spirituality is heavy? If my journey as a Christian, my spirituality is heavy. This is the new dimension of discipleship. Jesus' secret yoke, the lifestyle of Jesus. Spirituality of what Jesus invites us into isn't just some cocktail of an add-on to the type of life I choose to live. It is life itself. I've been challenged in some of this because I've really attached, why have I attached? I've just incorporated some prayer, some fasting, some tithing, some generosity, some bits and pieces into what's really important to me. Paying off the mortgage, looking for the next holiday, feeling secure and comfortable in some way, and God, somehow or other, I hope that you'll do something in the midst of that. Whereas Jesus calls us into something, a lifestyle that's different. That's different. Frederick Bruner, I haven't read this guy's book, A Way of Going with the Father, says, a yoke, which is what Jesus is talking about, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you yet rest, for my yoke upon you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, a yoke is a work instrument. Thus, when Jesus offers a yoke, we might think he offers tired workers what they need least. They need a mattress or a vacation or a cruise, not a yoke. But Jesus realizes the most useful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life. A fresh way to bear responsibilities. This passage in Matthew 11 comes after his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, about this is the new way to treat others. This is the new way to live life. And he says, after all of that, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You see, if, as I've mentioned before, you're trying to include your discipleship or your spiritual growth alongside your life, it's never going to work. It's going to be an ever constant, what? Pressure. In the Message in Matthew 11, it reads like this. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father-son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the son the way the father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. Oh, well, hang on, Jesus, I've got to look at my calendar and work out when we can actually take some time off. And you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and with delight. I don't know, Jesus. To live a slower pace of life would really mean something quite radical, wouldn't it? To take some things out of your life, perhaps. To slow down and do nothing. The last couple of weeks, at home, we've been trying to practice a Sabbath, 24 hours, to slow down, to choose the unhurry rhythms of grace. It is not easy to stop and do nothing, because there's always a list, isn't there? And I can imagine with kids, it would even be more of a struggle. Well, it's not to put the kids down, as much as that might be a delight, you know, but it's to rejoice in them, but it's to put down the screens. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize how hard it was to turn my phone on silent, to put it in another room, to not go to my iPad to find some type of activity, or even to watch, to binge watch something on TV. To sit and enjoy God. It's not to say I'm just supposed to sit in a chair or a lounge or something or other and do nothing. I'm going to show you some examples of how you can practice a slower rhythm of life, a Sabbath. I'm going to invite you even over the next 5 weeks to consider even a portion, a part of a day to give as a Sabbath, and maybe to grow that a little bit more. It's not easy. It takes a little bit of practice, because I've been taught and trained that I live in Egypt and I make bricks. And I've got to keep making bricks. And when it's time to stop making bricks, then all I can think about is tomorrow and the making more bricks. It happens. We see Jesus slowing down often. Often. But I don't know. It's a pretty big challenge for us, isn't it, when you think about it? Because the first question is, okay, what's going to stop you from practicing some of these examples of Jesus? And the answer is always going to be time. I haven't got the time to grow my spirituality. Hopefully he'll do something, but I haven't got the time to wax on and wax off, to practice to the following of Jesus and do what he did, and inviting the Holy Spirit to do something amazing in the midst of all that. I haven't got the time. These days, I don't see too many demons running around. I still do. But I see a demonic influence at work to take us out in different ways, to say, you haven't got time to practice the ways of Jesus. Have you seen your agenda, your calendar, your diary, to stop? I've got 15, 20 minutes to do a devotion and that's it. Let's move on with the rest of the day's agenda. We see Jesus, if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, we see Jesus constantly setting aside time. Now, he would have to be a pretty busy guy, wouldn't you think? People constantly wanting to come to him. There's questions, we're looking for answers, we need healing, we need teaching. It's on Jesus. All the time. Mark 1, after an exhausting day of ministry to the sick, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Everyone was looking for Jesus, but time after time in prayer, he told his disciples that it was time for them to move to another village. In Luke 5 and Mark 1, despite Jesus' plea that his miracles be kept a secret, we find here there was news that spread about him all the more, so that the crowds of people came to him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely places and prayed. He took time out. Luke 6 and Mark 3. Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him. Matthew 14. And after hearing that John the Baptist had been beheaded, when Jesus heard, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Mark 6. after the 12 returned and before he fed the 5,000. It says this, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. We sort of forget that aspect of our spiritual life at times. I know I do. Matthew 14, Mark 6, after they had fed the 5,000, before Peter walked on the water, it says, after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was still there alone. Matthew 15, Mark 14 as well. We find, as we've just practiced Easter in Mark 14, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. It's tough. It's not easy. Over the rest of this year, we're going to be encouraging you to pick up on, it's a website, it's actually a church, that has really grabbed a hold of this, but I want to lead you in what's called practicing the ways of Jesus. And it might not be for everybody. That's okay. I'm not expecting that all of a sudden we have a 24-hour period where we're just going to stop and rejoice in God and good food and fellowship with other people and just enjoy the goodness of God and stop and be thankful. You know, it may not happen, but I'd like you just to begin with a little bit. To practice something, to light a candle and go, well, Lord, you know, the kids are around and I've got this happening, I've got to go here and whatever else. But this is just the beginning stage, Lord, in my waxing on and waxing off and following the ways of Jesus to remind myself, God, of your goodness to me. And I'm going to extend that slowly and slowly as best as I can. It's not a hard and fast rule. I don't think God's going to judge you if, you know, a crisis comes up or a moment where, you know, you say, it's just getting too hard today. But to begin to intentionally unfold some of these practices in Jesus. The next slide picks up on some of this. That's not it. The next one, that looks a little bit different. Who we are. So in practicing an unhurried life, I'm going to throw you right into it. We're going to be talking about it for the next couple of weeks to get things rolling. But I'm going to throw you right into it rather than just saying, oh, let's practice a bit of prayer or a little bit of silence or solitude. We'll get to those things. Let's practice Sabbath again. You know what? I just remembered, there was a time when it was impossible to buy a litre of milk on a Sunday. There was a time when the shops weren't open. That's a long time ago. There was a time when it was part, or at least partly, I think it was half a day, wasn't it, when the shops were closed, or they closed at midday. Probably there was a time when they closed the whole day, were they? Right. Moved away from that, hustle and bustle. Anyway, now we've got the internet, we can just access anything at any time. Talk about Egyptians making bricks, hey, it's constant. And so, as we move into this, I just want to, again, gently invite you. It's up to you to choose this. There's going to be some shift even of a Sunday morning. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be right into it. When you go to Practicing the Way online, and we'll talk about it even if you haven't got access to a computer, how we can make that happen for you, okay? But when you go on there, you'll log in, you'll create an account. Simple. Why are we doing this? Well, because this is how you can access some material. All right? You log in there. You can click on My Church, which is up here. You'll see the little dash. That's the site. You can type that in. And then you've basically created an account. And then on the next slide, you'll see now it's changed. I've clicked on My Groups. And then what that shows is, oh, okay, here are the groups or the practices that I can access. And so you can create a group if you wish at this stage, and that would be fine. That will take you to the similar slide or the next slide I'll show you shortly. But even if you click on Preview Practices, and we'll show you all this all next week because obviously not everybody's here. All right? I'm going to give you a couple of weeks just to get settled into this. When you click on Preview Practices, it comes up with this next slide. And if we were online, you could scroll down and look at different practices. Here is Sabbath. All right. And so you can click on Preview Practice or Start a Practice. I'll pretty much take you to the same place. All right. And when you do that, next slide, I've clicked on Sabbath. It'll give you a little bit of an explanation about what the Sabbath is and practicing that, this slowing down of life, all right? But more than that. And here you'll see, start this practice. Companion guide. That little arrow, if you're not familiar with it, means to download it because it's 54 pages. Right? It's easy, it's not heavy, but there's 54 pages, all right? And if you can't download that, you need a hard copy, I'll get to that shortly for you as well. But you can click on, you'll need that, so you'll need to click on Companion Guide, start this practice. And then the next slide, you'll get this. This is John Mark Comer and his team that started practice, and you can watch the video right here. Or you can download it if you wish. We can watch it right there. All right? And these are the 4 weeks. The 4 weeks. The first one is just learning to stop. To stop. How hard is that? To stop and give some time. Right? And the next slide. Here we are. You've seen this before, perhaps, if you've been here when I've been talking about it. As you go through the guide, and this is the guide on the sideline, a few of the pages, if simply listening to a video, following the guide, learning it in your own time, I'm going to get to that, what that looks like very shortly, then to practice it. Now, normally we would say the Sabbath would be of what's a good day for Sabbath for you or to practice some aspect of it? Give me some ideas. Sunday? Some would say maybe Saturday? Some would say, you've got to be kidding me, they're the busiest times because the kids are home from school. Huh? To practice Sabbath. Doesn't matter when, where, but to practice Sabbath, even if it's midweek. We want to give you that space to be able to do that. To practice, to answer some questions in the guide, to reflect upon your own experience. And your own experience, let me tell you, it quite likely will be, this is not easy. I can't sit still. It's really hard. That's okay. We're not expecting it to be instant success necessarily. And then, we're going to be talking about this shortly, to come together and talk about your experience with one another. I didn't even get to Sabbath. I read some of the stuff. I saw the video. I fell asleep because I was so tired and exhausted. But this is where I'm up to. I want to give you some grace with this. We don't want you to have to fudge it in a group and go, oh, yes, I did the study and nod, 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 and I've got it all right. And yeah, Sabbath was great. I ate some good food. And it's like, and getting lost. Just to say, this has been difficult. What am I struggling with here? This will be the process that we'll be going through for the next few weeks. find time during the week to read some material, to watch a video, to practice an aspect of Sabbath, to think about it myself. How did I go with this? And then to come together. And we'll talk about that shortly. Next slide. That's basically just what I explained about learning, practicing, reflecting, processing together. You'll see that. Next slide. In the study guide, you'll see some questions here to reflect upon. Where did I find the most amount of resistance to this? What was it that I struggled with in putting this into place into my life? Where did I feel delight? What was really enjoyable in being just letting God know this is important to me? And I just want to stop and notice. It's weird for me. I've started noticing insects in the garden. I don't know what that is, but it's just these little fellas being plural term for male and female, just, you know, running around, because I don't know where they are, but just about their business, enjoying creation, life. And where did I most experience God's nearness? There might be just a moment. Next slide. You'll see that through the study guide. Here's some examples that they've listed for a Sabbath. I really struggled with some of this stuff. It's like, oh, it doesn't really fit, but it's about finding your own way and what's enjoyable. You know what I enjoyed yesterday is when we started our Sabbath? Playing table tennis with Rachel and her boyfriend Peter. We let them win first time. Just saying. But it was an enjoyable moment with family and friends just to delight in God in a moment that I've got a great relationship with my daughter and her boyfriend. Beautiful. Lighting candles, we do that, right? We're going through a few of them, but we haven't burnt the house down just yet. To pray a blessing over your children or to enjoy them. To eat a Sabbath meal, to enjoy food, wine, whatever it might be, just to sit and enjoy all of that, to be grateful for something, to reflect upon that, to sing. You just might want to get that qualification if you've got a partner, you know, whether they want you to sing or not, but, you know, Dave's right, aren't you, Dave? Liz loves that. Worship with your community, we'll talk about that shortly. To go for a walk, to enjoy creation and get out, whether it's the beach or wherever, all right? Napping. Making love with your spouse, reading. I'll just keep moving on real quickly with that one. Reading, spending time alone with God, spending time with family and friends. They're just examples. That's how you do Sabbath, and that's it. To enjoy experience with God. Next slide. Right. And so when we come to practicing Sabbath, if we're working it out and studying it during the week, if people are going to choose then, after they've studied it, if they're going to choose a Sunday, then if we came, you can see today there. Sorry about the fonts, it's obviously changed. If we see today and we're going to, this is next week here, I've tried to map this out as simply as possible. So next week we're going to get into it. And then during this first week, the green dots, is when we're reading and learning about Sabbath. If you haven't practiced Sabbath during the week, you're probably going to practice it when? That Sunday. Oh, well, I can't actually join a group and talk about my Sabbath because I haven't actually practiced it yet. I've learnt about it, but I haven't gone anywhere. And so the next time we're going to practice, or we're going to talk about, Sabbath together, is this Sunday, once we've practiced it. So we're always going to be like a week behind. I'm going to learn about something. I'm going to practice it on that Sunday. If it is a Sunday, we've got to give you that space to be able to do that. If it was during the week, it'd probably be easier, but it's not. We want to give you opportunity on the Sunday as well. And so the following Sunday, I'm going to talk about it in a group. Huh? Does that make sense? Huh? And so it would then look like, next slide. Right, that what I've just said, I'm going to practice the Sabbath probably here. I'm going to learn about it through there. But then the following week, I'm going to talk about it with people at church. Next slide. Yep, next slide. We've done that. And so in week two, I'll be practicing the second stage. I'll be studying it through this week. I'll probably practice it here. But then the following week, I'll talk about it at church here. Does that make sense? It's just so that people, if they choose a Sunday, that when we give you that opportunity to practice it before we have to talk about it. So always going to be sort of a week behind your experience, all right? And so over 4 weeks, next slide, that's simply what's going to happen. Why? During each week, I'm going to watch a video, I'm going to read, I'm then going to come to a practice to practice it, I'm then going to answer some questions in the study guide, and then the next week, I'm going to talk to people about that. Hopefully, that's pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. All right? But each week, what that will mean at church is that as part of our time together, we'll be spending 15 minutes, I'm going to be helping us do that, in a group as part of our worship to talk about, this has been my experience. This is how I answered the questions. How did you guys go? What happened for you? Did you have time for it or not? I'm going to include worship still. It's going to be a part of that. The message time is going to be shortened down a little bit as we go through this series. But we're going to actually spend a little bit of time in groups. Right? And we're going to practice this. It could be, you know what, through the 4 weeks, I've only been able to practice lighting a candle. That's as far as I got. And the kids kept blowing it out. Who knows? Or there was only a quick moment that I had. That's okay. We want to begin this practice of slowing down in a very fast-paced life to unhurry ourselves, practice the ways of Jesus. Sabbath picks up on a number of different things that we'll be looking at later on. For example, prayer, solitude, fasting, and so on. And so the following slide, I can't remember what we've got there. Okay. Okay, because I've chosen one font, we don't have it here, just come up with a different font. Some frequently asked questions. Can the kids join in? Yes. In all parts. It's part of, as a family, hey kids, we're stopping for a moment to remember the ways of Jesus, to follow and practice some of his things. Can they be a part of the groups of morning? Yes, they can, but they might be out at, you know, their own stuff. That's okay. We want to invite them to be a part of it. It's not just for mum and dad, necessarily. Two, what if I miss a week? Can I still join in the Sunday discussions? Yes. Right? Okay, it's going to be for everybody. All right? So don't worry about that if you didn't really get it sorted or life just got too busy or whatever else. Yes, you can join in those discussions because we learn better together. Yeah? We encourage you, though, if you've missed a week, to try and catch up on the study material the following week. Yeah? To watch a second video and read through some of the questions. Questions are very simple, straightforward. But I encourage you to do that. Three, what if I don't really want to do it? That's totally fine. That's okay. We encourage you to honour those, though, that are seeking to practice this in their life, in their spirituality, all right? To honour them by simply sitting in a group when the time comes, all right? We respect that. People are individuals, all right? Four, I don't have a computer. How can I get the video and the practice guide? If you talk to me, we will make that happen. We will download, we will print out those pages. We will organise a video on a screen that you can watch and see. Right? Really important that everybody has access to the material. Right? Why are we doing this? Because it seems that in many ways, our spirituality to one degree or to another is something that we find, while I see it as part of my life, it's something in the margins. Often. Not for everybody, but often. And when Jesus talks about come follow me, he's talking about practicing the ways, his ways. And through that, as you've heard over the last 6 months or so, as I wax on and wax off, seek to live as Jesus lived and to grow in some of that, where there are other practices that we will be looking at, to see what God can do. To that transformation we preach about, we teach about, we say amen to, but to see it happen more and more in your life. Where the Holy Spirit takes a deep, deep root and you're transformed even into greater things that you never imagined. To see more of the power of God at work in our lives. I'm reminded, and I want to pick up on this next week, for people who aren't here today, and it's going to come out in a newsletter shortly as well, but in Luke chapter 10, as Jesus and his disciples, and I want to finish with this team if you want to come on up, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I love how Luke just, you know, subtly makes it just a nice way. You can just imagine what she really is saying. Get up off your butt. Tell her. Crying out loud. We find this difficult, this next verse. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Do you feel that that's a bit rude? Hey, but you know, I'm the one who's being responsible. I'm busy. I'm taking care of you. No, Martha. This is what is required. This is what is needed to slow down. Can I encourage you to pray about this? In a few weeks' time, as you saw, it's not immediate, but in a couple of weeks' time, 3 weeks to be exact, or three Sundays including today, as part of our morning time together, we'll be just sitting in groups, breaking out into groups and saying, hey, how are you going with this? Have you been able to start? What's it been like for you? And so on and so on. Can I encourage you to pray about it? In light of that, let's pray now. Father God, we come before you and thank you for this day. It's been a long this morning as we've begun to just go through some of this stuff. But it comes out of a genuine heart, a desire, Lord, to see you shape and mold us, to grow, to get out from just the words of those things and to say, yep, we've done church, and now let's get back into our normal life. But to actually pause and go, okay, Lord, you call me to live in a different way. In a different way. And there are many things in life that you still just allow us to enjoy and delight in and so on. And but to live differently as well. And it begins with slowing down and just enjoying your beauty, enjoying your words spoken over us. I love you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of that. As we seek you, that despite what Egypt looks like and looking back and thinking, oh, a busy life, to follow you, to practice your ways. May that be your prayer as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Let's sing a final song.
Free to stand, sit as we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me.